If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 2, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are, but we've come today to hear from you. So if we can shine a little light on what you have written, on what you have to say, that's great. Otherwise, keep us out of the way, so that you can just share with us. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Timothy is a pastor, probably a large church, certainly in a large community. There are hints in this second letter that Timothy's going through some difficult times. Otherwise, why would he need good examples like Onesiphorus, the fellow who went to Rome just to find Paul so he could spend time with him and encourage him? And remember, Paul said, he wasn't ashamed of me. He wasn't ashamed to come to the Mamertine prison and ask, oh, do you have Saul of Tarsus here? Or maybe you know him as Paul. Is he here? Is he one of the prisoners? I want to see him. At a time when maybe just wanting to see Paul could have gotten you a permanent seat right beside him. He was not ashamed because he loved Paul and he wanted to do whatever he could to encourage him. Why be on the lookout for faithful men? Maybe because Paul's time is short and he wants Timothy to understand that his time is not unlimited. So always be on the lookout for others who you can come alongside, who will come alongside you in the ministry, in the work, who will learn from you. In some cases, take some of the load. In other cases, be there when you're gone. Remember, when we started this series many months ago, we looked at 1 Timothy and then Titus and now 2 Timothy. I told you these letters were written to pastors. So these words are first written to me, but they're in our Bible, so they're for you as well. And when I spend time with other pastors, one of the things I hear from time to time is how lonely they feel. How there's nobody else to help with what's going on. Now, no one would ever accuse me of being a good historian, but I can say this because I don't think there's anybody here who could contradict me. I don't remember ever feeling alone here. I've always had my faithful mate. But when there were challenges here, sometimes without asking, someone would come along and say, how can I help? Other times, just like yesterday, frankly, I felt overwhelmed, wondering about this morning, wondering about heating this place and taking care of it. I needed help. And there isn't anybody who knows more about this physical plant than Dan. And there wasn't anybody who would have come quicker to help. And he did. That's what Paul's reminding Timothy of. Timothy, this job is too big for just you. Both in terms of what you're doing and how long it's going to have to continue. So be thankful for those guys who will seek you out and help you, and be on the lookout for others who maybe with a little bit of encouragement and with a little bit of training will stand there with you as well. But I ask the question again, why? Because Paul is going to invite Timothy to suffer hardship with him. Imprisonment? Maybe. We don't know the rest of the story of Timothy, but maybe. Again, there are hints in this letter that Timothy was going through some difficult times, maybe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul is aware that those times are going to get worse, maybe greater than what Timothy will be able to endure himself. But he's inviting Timothy to come along and endure hardship. And he offers three really good examples. First, as a good soldier, and don't miss this, of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. When my dad enlisted back in the early 1950s, the joke was, if the Army had wanted you to have a family, they'd have given you one on enlistment. Now, thankfully, that has changed a lot since then. But the principle is still true. A soldier in battle, a soldier on the field of battle, needs to be single-minded and focused, knowing what the mission is and knowing his part of the mission. So Timothy, when the battle comes, and it will, remember you're serving under Christ Jesus. He has the battle plan. He knows exactly what he wants you to do and where he wants you to do it. Your responsibility, to be single-minded. Stay focused on the mission. Stay under in service to the one in charge, your Lord. And in the process, stay single-minded. Also, as a winning athlete, verse 5, also if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Right now it's football season. Athletes at every level doing amazing things. You see a 99-yard run, Great effort. Can't believe he did it. All called back because somebody did something they weren't supposed to right at the beginning. An athlete accomplishes again something that nobody has ever seen before. And he's rewarded for it, recognized. But then he has to give it back because it was revealed that he tested positive for an illegal substance. Paul loved sports. They come up often in his writing. He talks about boxing. He talks about running. Later, he's going to talk about running his own race. He understood this. For an athlete to win, he has to compete according to the rules. Now, what does that mean to Timothy? What does that mean to me? Well, the best word I could come up with is obedient. Again, understand what you've been called to. Understand what your job is, what your responsibilities are. And do them that way. Be an example of obedience. Now, the other side of that very same coin is be an example of how to respond when you haven't been obedient. Because don't you know none of us are all the time? What do you respect more? The man or woman who in honesty says, "Yes, I did that. I shouldn't have. I realize now it was a mistake." Or, "Yeah, I did it, and I knew at the time I shouldn't have done that, but it was wrong. I own it. I ask your forgiveness." Or the guy who over and over and over and over and over and over again just says, "I didn't do it. Had to have been somebody else. I don't care what anybody else says. I didn't do it." Until finally, in just utter embarrassment, he has to say, yeah, I did. So living an obedient life is our pursuit. And when we are obedient, when we do what we're supposed to do, and we come to the end of the day and think, "God, I think I've lived a life that is pleasing to you," we should follow that up with "thank you, because I know I didn't do it on my own." And at the same time, when in careful self-examination, the help of the Holy Spirit, God says, "You know, you blew that. You think I'm the only one who noticed. Well, guess what? That's all that matters. Now deal with it." And you do. Live a life of obedience. And then he says, as a hardworking farmer, a hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Now, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of farmers, a variety of ways, but the illustration is pretty clear. You worked hard to prepare the soil. You worked hard to plant the seed. You worked hard to keep it weed-free. You worked hard to make sure that it had everything it needed to succeed in terms of germination and growth and maturity. And you did all the hard work of bringing it in. You should receive those first fruits. Now, what are you going to do with them? Jesus told this parable, the man who did the wrong thing. He thought, well, God blessed me with all of this just because I'm so wonderful and I need to build bigger barns so I can just collect more and more stuff. No, the wise farmer asks why. Why have you blessed me with so much? This is mine. I did it. It's mine, but why? And what do you want me to do with it? And the wise farmer then responds with those first fruits and all that is his in a way that honors and glorifies God. But that's only possible if the hardworking farmer is bearing fruit. Right? If the harvest comes in. In conclusion, Paul says in verse 7, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So this is where he just stops in this paragraph, and he says, now, I want you to think about what I've said. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. So this is where Pastor stops, and he says, Timothy thinks, now, Paul, this, you've written this to me, and I'm going to share this with the church because it's you, and they want to know what you told me. But before I do that, I need to deal with this myself, and you're telling me that I need to deal with this, and that God will give me the understanding I need to know how to deal with it. Well, he wants pastors to be single-minded. And that doesn't mean tunnel visioned. Single-minded in the sense that God is in charge. He's entrusted me with a ministry. And I need to do it to the best of my ability with his help. But that doesn't mean to the neglect of my family, for instance. Because if I carefully read the Apostle Paul, if I neglect or lose my family, almost every ministry that I would have wanted to be a part of will now be closed to me. So they have to be a priority. But they fit in to what God has said about who we are and what we need to do. He certainly wants us to be obedient. We're supposed to be examples. And again, examples of doing things correctly, yes, but also examples of how to handle things when they don't go right, when you don't do well. Almost all of you have seen this pastor apologize for one thing or another. I will not tell you that I've gotten it right all the time, by any means. But we certainly should be characterized by obedience. And then finally, he wants them bearing fruit. But notice what I think this means. Now, granted, I've taken what I think Paul is talking about there with regards to the farmer and added this idea of bearing fruit. But Paul is very clear. Whether he's talking to Timothy as pastor, Pastor Dan as pastor, or you, when it comes to looking for evidence of who you are, that you are indeed a child of Christ, that's what bearing fruit is all about. The apple tree says he's an apple, but all he produces is cherries. What do you think? Okay, you say you're a Christian. You say you're a child of God. Prove it. Well, check the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you, because he's the down payment of the fact that you are a child of God. Do these things reflect themselves in your life perfectly all the time? No. Certainly is what we should be striving for. We should be further along than we were, not as far along as we will be tomorrow or the day after. But this is where the evidence is. This is the evidence. Are you a joyful person? Peaceful, self-controlled, kind, loving, regularly looking to the needs of others before your own. Well, if you're a Christian, you should be. Because that's what God does when he comes to live within you in the person of his Holy Spirit. Timothy, tough times are coming. Be prepared. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to encourage us. Thank you for the privilege of serving this church, this portion of your church. May not only these folks see these characteristics in their pastor, may their pastor see these characteristics in them, even more importantly, may we, as salt and light, reflect these characteristics in the community around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.